TV.
Yeah, somebody said my beard is now looking a little crazed and desperate, as is my hair. But somebody also said I thought I was looking more and more like a movie star, so I don't know what I'm going to do about it. Torn about it, but I think wilder it gets, the wilder I get. So maybe I'll have to spare you that, although some of you might be excited by that prospect. I am Martin Sender. I forgot my beard shaver, which is the problem. I forgot to pack my clothes. You would think that when you pack for a trip, the first thing you take is clothes. I forgot any clothes. I just took running clothes. I forgot I was going to be doing other things besides running, I guess, so I didn't bring any clothes. I had some here. So I had a few here and the clothes on my back. So I haven't had to buy any clothes here. So that's amazing. But I forgot my beard shaver, or else I think I would shave this down a little bit. And Maria says I need a haircut. But I like the surfer boy look. I don't know. I think this is my natural look. But then when I do get a haircut, I think, yeah, that looks nice too. Anyway, believe it or not, I'm going to talk about an important topic today, very important topic. But first of all, I should tell you that this attempt last night to fix this thing failed. I believe the doctor was inexperienced and strike one. So we're going to try go to another doctor tomorrow and see what happens. Okay, so are the children of believers, are they protected by the faith of the parents? That is, if the parents have alien life and the children are living with the parents, are they also beneficiaries of alien life? Quick answer, no. No, absolutely not. And I don't want you to think it's true for a second, because it'll give you a sense of false confidence, false assurance. You have to teach your children the evangel. Now, I hate to mention his name. No, I did say I was going to mention it again today. Clyde Pilkington and Stephen Hill both believe that not only your children are automatically in the body of Christ, but a spouse is automatically in the body of Christ. This is one of the craziest. But then I try to stop being surprised. You know, this teaching came up years ago, and I warned Stephen Hill. This is when I was living with Clyde and his family, and had a wonderful time living there. But this one day was not good. Stephen Hill said, I think an unbelieving husband is saved. An unbelieving husband or an unbelieving wife has alien life right along with the one who believes. I said, by what grounds? By the grounds of marriage. Oh, you got a scripture for me? And they went to 1 Corinthians 7. Now, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 7 and tell you, show you, prove to you how it's completely ridiculous. But that doesn't matter to this camp. Ridiculosity has no say in the matter whatsoever. It should, but it doesn't. I came away from, I told Stephen the night before he was going to present it, I said, Stephen, don't present it. It's wrong. Well, I'm pretty confident in it. Ugh. Don't do it, because if you do it, I'm coming after you. I told him ahead of time. And I did. I not only came after him at the conference, but I wrote a gigantic, I think it was, no, one big CWTF newsletter about it. I'll file it down here for your perusal. I call it coattail salvation, that you get aeonian life on someone else's faith. It's absolutely absurd. It's dangerous to think that. Because why would you present the evangel to someone who's automatically in the body of Christ, there's no need. So you're taking quite a gamble there. You don't present the evangel because you don't think you have to, and then they end up not knowing the evangel. But after Stephen Hill's presentation, which was absolutely horrible, he showed slides of families having picnics. It was just an emotional roller coaster. His graphics, he picked graphics. It was emotional, not intellectual. And he knew it, and he went for the heartstrings. And I'm the only guy who kept his head. I'm looking around. I'm seeing people going under the spell. Oh, look at that cute family. Of course they're all saved. They have to be. And I kept making snide comments from the back. And Cindy Pilkington kept looking back at me. Oh, I was getting dirty looks big time. I would be in the back going, that's wrong. I never do that. But I realized as this talk was progressing that this was salvation by another means. This was salvation not by faith, but by legal arrangement. But I'm looking at Scripture. By grace are you saved, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, through faith. This is not out of you. It's a gift of God, of course, God's gift. But faith is the channel. Faith is the channel to righteousness. And righteousness is reckoned to us through faith. Stephen Hill decided in his great creativity he was going to take that a step further. He says, well, since righteousness is imputed to us, let's just say faith is imputed to us too. It's just imputed. You don't actually have to have the faith, even though we know it comes from God. No, you don't actually have to have the faith. We'll just say it's just imputed to you. How could you say that? Well, righteousness is imputed, yes, through faith. Show me a verse where faith is imputed to you. And if it were, through what? He didn't care. I'm confident. Martin, so he did it, and I just made a ruckus. And I was speaking next, thank God. Some of you may have heard this before. This was at the Johnstown Airport, Johnstown, Pennsylvania. They had a little conference room at the airport. It was 7 miles north of where we lived. I was speaking next. I took my notes for my talk. I just threw them to the wind. I think I made a show of it. Hard to believe, I know. I said, all right, I'm going to dedicate my talk to telling you that everything you just heard from my brother and friend Stephen Hill, and I lived with the guy, everything you just heard from him is wrong. And here's why. Yes, I've been this way for a while. That was 2013. And then I wrote a Jigundus article. I bring this up because there's a new guy making videos in the body of Christ, and I wish I could remember his name. And he's probably out there right now. Please don't remember my name. Please don't remember my name. Dear God, please help Martin Center to not remember my name. He made a video. It was really good. Oh, wait a minute. He made it with that AI thing. I tried that AI thing once and I didn't like it. Whenever you hear from me, it's me. Whenever you hear about me, it's... Well, no. Yeah, somebody made a video. You remember, there's this fake two-way conversation. I got to get some whiskey. I'm sorry. I don't do this on purpose. I meant to get it. I meant to bring it with me. I got this little airplane thing. The shot, what do you call these things? Shots? I meant to fill this up, but I'll be right back. Oh, yeah, the Johnstown Airport. Oh, there's a guy, yeah. Oh, so I was talking about the old number 7, Jack Daniels, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Never been there, but they tell me it's nice. Oh, they make some good whiskey. Listen to that. Somebody did an AI discussion between a man and a woman on a couple of my audios, and it was stunning. It really was amazing. And I liked it at first, and I thought, no, I can't be a part of this, you know. But this guy did very well. He had one of these AI things. I thought he did a very good job. And I complimented him on it. I like to encourage people when they do well. But then I saw another video he made, and it was on children. It was on children. Oh, by the way, Stephen Hill or Clyde Pilkington, as far as I know, neither one of them has ever repented of this lie. I'm not calling them liars. I'm just saying they're reporting something that's false, so that would be a lie. It's just the most one of the most outrageous things I have ever heard. And I'm gonna go to 1 Corinthians 7 and show you how it's completely misread and it's wrong. It's just emotional. And I believe, like I've said, family ties and emotional and heartstrings, Hallmark cards, all these things are involved with, I think, most of the departures from faith coming out of that camp. Most of the sects are caused by, I think it's at the center of it, is this our family ties. Am I saying we shouldn't love our family? Of course not. But to impute faith to someone who has no faith or hates Christ, think about this marriage thing. A husband can be a Satanist or an atheist or believe that Jesus Christ is dead or that he never existed at all, and yet he's in the body of Christ. Why? Because his wife's a believer. Are you kidding me? But what if they get divorced? Well, I guess he's not in the body of Christ then. What if they come back together? Well, he's back in the body of Christ. God, you think Jesus' head would be spinning? What's the latest report down there? Are they married or divorced? Why do you ask, Lord? I want to know whether this man has his own in life or not. Well, it looks like they just got divorced again. For the third time. Okay. Scratches his name off the book of life. Wait a minute. They're back at the altar. All right, put them back on the list. It's cartoonish. No, I'm not going to say the word stupid. I'm going to get through a show without saying that word. So this guy, whose name I can't remember, for which he is thanking God right now, made a video about kids being autumn. Your children, don't worry about it. If they come out of your womb, I guess, we need to ask a serious question here. Do both parents have to be believers? What if one parent's a believer and one's an atheist? Is the kid part-time body of Christ going to get in on Eon 4 but not Eon 5? These are questions that need to be asked. But that's not the only question that needs to be asked. That's not the only thing that should be considered here, because we run up with a silly teaching like that. No, stupid. No, it is stupid. With a stupid teaching like that, we run up against the roadblock that is always run up against by the Christian religion, and that is the age of accountability. Because this brother's video was saying that God protects those who are not able to reason, not able to be mature, not able to come to logical conclusions. Hey, I know a lot of people in the body of Christ who are over 50 who can't do any of those things. I know people who have been in the body of Christ for 20 years who can't do any of those things. And maybe they're not even in the body of Christ. I don't know. But it's like, are you kidding me? The age of accountability, that's a real problem for the Christians, because they say that all babies go to heaven. All babies have aeonian life. They have to. Why? Because they can't make a decision. They don't have the mental faculty yet to make a decision. Neither do many adults that I know. Don't have the mental faculties, spiritually. or otherwise, to make a decision. And we know, see, what destroys this whole argument completely is that faith comes from God. It's a gift of God. It has nothing to do with mental faculties. If God has chosen you beforehand, he will give you belief. He will give you faith. There's no such thing as someone in the body of Christ who is not called in this life. Whom he designates beforehand, these he calls also. Whom he calls, these he justifies. Whom he justifies, these he glorifies also. If you've been designated beforehand, you will believe someday. If you don't, you aren't. And what's the difference between a one-month-old or a one-day-old who has no clue what the evangel is about, and an 80-year-old who has no clue what the evangel is about, or a 30-year-old who has no clue what the evangel is about? God treats everyone. Here's the dirty little secret, ladies and gentlemen. God treats the whole world like we treat the mentally impaired, because the whole world is mentally impaired. Read Romans 3. No one righteous, no, not one. They have all gone out of the way. They have the venom of asps under their lips. And Paul goes on and on there about how, oh, and then one of my favorite psalms that I can never remember the verse references, salvation from a human is futile. It doesn't say salvation from a baby human is futile. It doesn't say salvation from a toddler is futile, or salvation from a mentally incompetent 18-year-old is futile. Salvation from a human, period, is futile. And I will say it again because it's so important. God treats the whole human race like we treat the mentally incompetent, whether they're babies or adult mental incompetent. It comes down to who God has chosen beforehand. So a one-month-old dies, terrible, but I am sorry to be the one to tell you this, but that baby does not have aeonian life, even if both parents were believers. But there it comes. Bring Stephen Hill and his slideshow in here. Let's see the cute baby with the bonnet. But boy, the baby. The baby's so cute. I know. Yeah, I know. What is the age of accountability? See, that's the problem that Christians run up against. God wouldn't send anybody to hell who's mentally incompetent. When does someone become mentally competent, according to the Christians? This is the infamous age of accountability. Some say it's, for males, maybe it's 12 years old, or when their testicles descend. Okay, wait a minute. Yep, one's down. Nope, not good enough. Not good enough. Boy, I hope that snatching away occurs now. The kid's good. If the snatching away happens now, the kid's in the body of Christ. He only has one descended testicle. Wait. Oh, please don't come down. Please don't. Ah, damn it. The second testicle just dropped. Okay. He's accountable now. Oh, and there's the snatching away. The kid's... See you at the great white throne, kid. Is that really how God judges things? Oh, my goodness. And this guy, this modern guy who's teaching this in his video with this AI thing, he's got the same problem. He's got the same problem. He knows that the kids aren't going to hell for eternity, no matter what. That's what the Christians are dealing with. He knows that they're saved eventually, but he still has a problem of the age of accountability. So at what age would you have to make sure you teach them the evangel? Up until then, they're on autopilot, saved because both parents are believers. I'd sort of like to know both or one or both. I don't know. And what if they get divorced? The kid's out. They're back together. The kid's in. Jesus has the same problem. What's the latest? What's the Peyton place down there? Freaking soap opera. I don't know what to do. That's the fake Jesus. Oh, God. If I could think of this guy's name, I would tell you it. But if you hear this teaching, stay away from it. It's faith. Faith is a gift of God. It has to come from God. It's the only way it can come. But it's not imputed. in the way that righteousness is. Righteousness is imputed through faith. So we're called righteous even though we're not technically, physically righteous yet. It's imputed to us because of faith. But faith is a gift of God that, from what I'm reading in Scripture, must be expressed. Let's put it this way, must be real. Maybe not expressed, but real. A real belief in Jesus Christ. You know, it doesn't have to be expressed. Cancel that. It goes back to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 5. Christ died for our sins. It's an acceptance of a teaching. Aeonian life comes by an acceptance of a teaching that Jesus Christ died. He was actually dead for 3 days. Wasn't gallivanting around the universe or descending to the submerged chaos to preach to the angels that were disobedient in the days of Noah. I don't know. I just think the submerged chaos must be a lot of water down there. But the demons hate water. That's why the pigs went into the... Yeah, I don't know. Don't want to talk about pigs and demons right now. I got enough problems. So you believe that Jesus died, and then he died for your sins. Like, he took away your sins. You can't take away your sins by believing in him. Belief is a result of being chosen beforehand for aeonian life. Belief is a result of that. You believe because you were chosen beforehand. It's not that you believe, and that's the quarter that kicks out the gumball of salvation. Belief is not your movie ticket. Belief is not your subway token. Belief is what you find yourself doing because you were chosen in Christ a long, long, long time before you were born. Now, let's go to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 7. I'm not saying this isn't confusing, but it's not what these people say it is. I mean, just common sense should tell you. If any brother, I'm in 1 Corinthians 7:12. If any brother has an unbelieving wife, and she approves of making a home with him, let him not leave her. Well, why would Paul say, let him not leave her? Well, I think a lot of the Corinthians even, maybe not a lot of them, but it was common knowledge in even some of these Greek communities concerning Israel. And Israel was famous throughout the world. Some might say infamous, but people knew of the Jews' God, who was a jealous God, and he despised fraternization with the other nations, and he separated. This is a people separated unto me. Holy means separated. They're separated unto me, and you could not be married to an unbeliever. My God, you couldn't even go to a, I shouldn't say an unbeliever, into a Gentile's house. You couldn't even go into a Gentile's house. You couldn't eat with a Gentile, go into their house, have any business activity with them. You sure as hell couldn't marry them. And if you were married to one and you became a proselyte of Israel or whatever, it was just an unholy union. You had to separate from this person. That's the way it was in the old days under Israel. And some of the Corinthians even probably would have known of this, or they would have known Paul's opinion of it. Paul may have told them, or they might have learned it from him when he was teaching them privately. But he thinks it's important enough to bring it up here in case anybody was thinking, and they would have been thinking. Paul knew it was possible they could have been thinking this. If anyone's thinking, oh my God, Paul, I just accepted your evangel, but you saw Sarah here. She was at the same meeting, Paul, the same meeting. I broke apart when you started teaching about justification. And apart from law, I just fell apart. It's like it made so much sense to me. My heart filled. My heart filled with glory and joy of the Lord. I was so happy that Jesus Christ had won my salvation for me. But then I look over at Sarah. Lord God, Paul, she's filing her nails. God, she's filing her toenails for Christ's sake. My own beautiful Sarah, she didn't get nothing out of that presentation. I don't know what to tell you. I know what I got to do. I got to leave her, but I love her, but I don't want to leave her. I love her, but I don't.
I should leave, but I don't want to leave. Paul says, shut up. I mean, hush, saint. Hush, saint. In this evangel, your wife is hallowed by you. What's that mean, Paul? She's saved? No. It means that she's separated too. She has a special separation from the world, from the condemnation of the old ways, that under this evangel of grace, you are not to put her away. So she is blessed by her association with you, and the Lord's favor on you, as far as alien life goes, will overshadow her, the favor, not the actual alien life, because that requires belief. And we know this because of what Paul says a few verses later. He's writing the context. I don't know how this is missed. Well, here we go again. A wife who has an unbelieving husband, and he approves of making a home with her, let her not leave her husband. I should have done it the other way around. Paul, my husband. I don't think the guy would be doing his toenails, so I would have to think of another example. Verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is hallowed by the wife. There it is. But Martin, doesn't hallowed mean saved? No. It's true that all saved people are hallowed, but not all hallowed people are saved. It just means separated. The unbelieving husband is hallowed by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is hallowed by the brother. Else, consequently, your children are unclean. Unclean. Paul is referring back now to the law of Moses. Not that these Corinthians were ever under the law of Moses, but they have heard of it. They had heard of it, and some of them would get the idea. Now that they're all excited and their heart is filled with such joy, they're so excited about it that everything looks unclean to them. Now they feel like they're on this cloud of exceptionalism, and in a way they are, but they are, and the instinct would be that I must put away my unclean progeny, my unclean glory. No, you don't. Paul says, no, you don't leave. No. You show them grace. You stay with them and love them. Because he says later, concerning this wife who has an unbelieving husband, Paul says, hey, wife, let's say it's the other way around. Sarah, don't leave this nunchuck. Don't leave him. That's how it was in the Old Testament, Paul. That's not how it is under my gospel. I heard tell, Paul, that in Israel, this isn't that. Okay, this is the gospel of grace of God. For what are you aware, O wife, will you be saving your husband? There it is. Saving is a separate thing, as they're hallowed, but Paul doesn't know. Someday the Sarah might be interested, or now he's talking to the husband. Someday your husband might be interested, and you can talk to him, and then we'll find out if God has designated him beforehand, because he'll be a believer. What are you aware, O husband? Will you be saving your wife? So Paul's saying the reason you stay with them, why? Because in speaking in human terms and relative terms, there's a chance that they come to the Lord. It's not a chance. That's a terrible word, even in the relative, yet I use it. I also tell people good luck, which is ridiculous. No such thing as luck, but I use it. It's practical. So now, and the children. Consequently, your children are unclean, yet now they are holy. So they're holy. They're separated in the same way. So what do you do? Put your children outside with the garbage on Thursday morning when you become a believer? If you and your wife both become believers at the same time, you put your unbelieving three-year-old out with the garbage on Thursday morning? No, they're hallowed by you, by your presence. But by God, you teach them the evangel. They're holy in the same way the wife is holy in union with a believing husband, and the husband is holy in union with a believing wife. That's how it is. It ain't no other way. And to everyone and for everyone, herald the word of God and the words belonging to Aeonian life.